God, we're so thankful that we can come to you with everything, with every need we have. Father, I am so thankful that we can bring our needs to your feet. And Father, you meet every single need that we have. Father, you don't leave us hanging. You don't leave us waiting. Father, you answer our needs. You meet our needs where we're at. So God, we thank you for that. God, thank you that you are God that heals. God, thank you that you are God that financially provides. God, thank you that you are a God that blesses us beyond measure. Father, that you give us abundance and you don't leave us wanting. God, I pray that we would walk in that, that we would walk in that blessing, that we would live in that blessing, and that we would not choose to live outside of that blessing, of the full blessing you have for us. God, I pray that each and every one of us walks in that full and complete blessing. Father, we thank you. We thank you for that. God, be with us today. Father, protect us. Lead us, guide us, prepare us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a seat, guys. Thank you to the music team. Now I just gotta let my OCD take over and make sure I'm perfectly centered. Okay, I think that's kind of close. We won't break a tape measure out today on it. So, natural church development is what we started talking about last week. And for those of you that weren't here, the message is online on our church website, but NCD is what it goes by. And we talked about how NCD is about showing us the wheels we have and the tools we have and helping us choose the right ones that are going to help us work the best as a church and help us advance the kingdom in Rosetown and beyond. And so looking at our context of where we have gaps and where we need to get healthy and how we can do it. And the neat thing about NCD, as I shared last week, is it's not a prescription. And if we think we're going to go through being the focus church and get all the answers and fill all the seats in one Sunday or two Sundays, we're fooling ourselves. This is not a prescription. What NCD is a tool to say where are our gaps, and then we gather and we build a plan together. And we work together to build a plan. Because in the end, this is not about filling our seats. I shared that last week. The end result is not going to be to have more butts in the seats and more dollars in the bank. If that's all we're about, we're missing the point. That we're missing the point completely of doing church even. What our purpose and our point is about reaching here, making us all healthy, spiritually speaking, and then reaching out there and ministering to the people of our community, of our area. But in order for us to effectively do that, we need to be in some form of health. Would you agree? If we're not healthy, if we're not healthy in any respect, it'd be like the guy, maybe it's a bad analogy, but I'm going to use it. Because I do like the people, but the pastors from Bethel, they're faith healers, right? They believe in faith healing. And there's a little, I can never say the right word, but it's meme or mem or whatever it is. What is it? Meme. There's a meme. We believe in faith healing, but don't worry about these things on our face. We just need them to see. And it's their glasses. And it's like, okay, we need to start believing fully for all full healing then and trusting God that he's going to heal everything, right? We need to be fully healed, and you can't be on your deathbed saying, coughing up a lung, saying, you need to be praying to get healed. I need to be praying to get healed. We all need to be praying to be healed and be fully believing in it, right? We need to believe. So back to NCD. Sorry, that was just a total sidetrack. But NCD process found in that was done in churches found that 8 quality characteristics are necessary in all churches, are kind of the baseline for healthy churches. And having these 8 qualities is good, but having them in the right way is even better. So healthy churches, we talked about last week, don't just have leadership, but they have a leadership that is empowering. They don't just have ministry. No, not yet. They don't just have ministry, but they have gift-based ministry. And I'll give you an example. A gift-based ministry is what Nathan does on Thursday nights, right? He's got this gift-based ministry where he is a good teacher on faith. He believes in faith. And he has that gift to come and speak and preach and teach. And we empower him, empowering once again, to use his gift-based ministry. Mary is a talented musician. We have other talented musicians. We allow them to work in their ministries as gift-based ministries. We want spirituality in our church, but we don't want just regular spirituality, but we want to be passionate about spirituality. We don't want to just go through the motions. And in churches, and typically POC churches, one thing that we find is that we need structures. All churches need structures, but we need structures that are effective. We need worship services that are inspiring. We need to be inspired during our services. We need to be inspired and pushed to seek God more. We need small groups that are holistic, not just, well, I have a small group and I meet here, but we gather together. We have coffee. We meet. We encourage each other. We need evangelism that is need-oriented. And the 8th one is we need relationships that are loving. And we're going to break these down over the next number of weeks. So this week, we're going to start diving into these. And the first characteristic is empowering leadership. Now, notice that I don't say empowered leadership, but empowering leadership. What's the difference? It's only a couple letters, right? One's past tense, one's present tense, it's happening, is one easy thing to say. But empowered leadership could mean that there is one ingenious mastermind, super multi-talented leader who has amazing vision, and he just needs people, right? He just needs volunteers. He just needs people out on the field running the plays that he calls, right? It's kind of like Coach Jones calling the plays for the Riders. He just needs the best athletes out there just doing the job that he tells them to do. If you run this play, we're going to be effective, and we're going to score a bunch of touchdowns, and we're going to win the Grey Cup. That's what an empowered leader is. So outside of the church, if you weren't in these walls, maybe you might have heard this as a guru leader. And some churches use this model quite often. Some churches hold this as their effective growth principle. They bring in this amazing, passionate, charismatic leader who's really quite bright and operates at a high level. And he operates over the lay people, the troops, the team, who are willing to serve this amazing leader and allow his dream, his vision to come to fruition. Now, NCD shows that this method isn't always a good method. It's not a great method. This method is not sustainable. And when that great leader goes, what happens to the pieces around them? We stop moving forward. And now you have a complete shift. So when you have an empowering leader, you have someone that has the troops moving in their giftings, moving where God has called them to move, encouraging them, building them up. And we're going to dive into this a little bit and dig into this a little bit today. So leaders, if growing churches consider it one of their most important tasks to empower others, that's what my job is. As a leader, as a pastor, I need to equip, I need to support, motivate, mentor others to become all that God wants them to be. That's what I need to do as the pastor. God is calling each of us into this unique calling. Would you agree? We all have a unique calling where we can be most effective. If I asked Lyle to come up here and lead Sunday music time, it's not his calling. It's not where he's called to do. Lyle's called somewhere else to serve and do stuff and lead. And it's crazy to think about, but the survey, when they survey the pastors and the churches that typically have the highest score in areas of empowering leadership, these pastors are hardly known on a wider scale. So by that I mean, when the church does a survey and they're very strong at empowering leadership, that's where their questionnaire comes out at. This pastor is usually not widely known beyond their four walls. They're not known, they haven't written tons of books, or maybe they're not an international speaker or global speaker, but their people know them. Leaders are growing churches, of growing churches don't have to be superstars. So empowering leadership, it needs three pieces. Three pieces. It needs explanation, motivation, and liberation. All three of these are actions. And if one of these pieces are missing, the idea of empowering leadership suffers. The ability to explain in teaching and sermons or Bible studies is an amazing gift from God. Not all of us have it, some of us do. However, many people who have this gift haven't necessarily mastered the motivation piece. So they can teach, they can explain, they can tell you, here's what Scripture says. But maybe sometimes they're lacking in the motivation piece. And telling people they need to get going, they need to do something with this now. Here's the teaching, now go. Do something, let's get excited about this. And the people that have this, both of these gifts, sometimes they're a little lacking on the liberation piece, I guess. They're afraid to release the people. See, people honestly believe that explaining the task, the explanation is all that we need. That's it. I'll preach and then see you guys next week. And there's no motivation. There's no liberation. There's no saying, go, let's get out beyond these walls. Let's go do something. I'll teach you. I'll build you up. I'll strengthen you. I'll encourage you on His ways, on what God is teaching us. Maybe I'll motivate you, but I won't send you. We need to be sent. We need to go out to the uttermost parts of the earth and share. See, I think sometimes I've been in churches where many pastors have the explanation, the motivation, but the liberation they're also scared of, because, yeah, you're all helpers, but what if you mess it up? What if you get the vision wrong? What if you don't share the same vision as me? And I think that's foolish on our part, because we need to release you. It's been explained, once you're motivated, we need to release you. We need to liberate you out into the community, here in the church, to do ministry, to encourage each other. For me, this is one of the hardest parts, is liberation. Investing in yourself, of yourself, into people, to release them into this God-given vision that God has for them. See, some of you may or may not know this about me, but I'm a bit of a control freak. Not sure if you know this. If you don't know this, now you know. I like things just so. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And it's a big challenge for me to release people, because it's like, okay, well, if they do it wrong, and who's to say they're doing it wrong? That's my perspective, right? But if they do it wrong, if they get it wrong, how much more work am I going to have to fix this mess? You know what I mean? Or what if they like Nathan more than they like me? They won't, because look at this face. But what if they like Nathan more than me? Oh my goodness. I'm going to be out of a job. He's going to be up here. And then what? And I'm just kidding. But That's the cool thing about this, and this is this book that I, these books that I've been reading, the All By Itself and Color Your World. I'm going to be using more of you guys in more ways. Like how we had last week, we had that powerful time of prayer after service. And some of you guys came up, and I asked Nathan to come up and pray for you. And people would be like, well, pastor, that's your job. You're the pastor. Why? I need to empower people in the church that are leaders that are gifted in this, and I need to release them, right? I need to be an empowering leader. And that's what we need to do. Well, Dave, where's that? Tell me where that's biblical. Well, we'll talk about that. Empowering leadership is one to increase the quality in explanation, motivation, and liberation, and to bring these three dimensions into balance. So we need to balance these three things. Explanation, motivation, liberation. Jesus was very good at this. He was the perfect example of an empowering leader. Through his life, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He explained, he taught, he instructed, didn't he? He taught in parables. He walked with people. He lived with people. He encouraged people. Jesus motivated people. He motivated his disciples to get to work. You're in a spray zone, buddy. No, he's good. I'm just teasing. For some reason, I'm just spitting everywhere. I don't know why. If Stacey was here, I'd get a look because I'm saying this, but that's okay. She's sick today. And after Jesus motivated them, though, what did he do? What did he do? What did Jesus do? He sent them out, didn't he? He liberated them. And we're going to read some scripture here in a moment. But for me, that liberation that Jesus did, that's exciting. And that's something that I think we all should be able to get behind. Don't you? Getting out there, getting in here, building each other up, then going out together and spreading the good news. That's exciting stuff. More than Jesus just being an empowering leader, he set the bar on being an empowering leader. He instructed us. Matthew 9:35 to Matthew 10:8, we read about Jesus sending out his disciples to evangelize. And it begins with Jesus acting alone and ministering to the crowd, to the people. And it ends with him empowering the disciples to do the very same thing. So what Jesus does in the middle of the verses of this passage, though, as it serves for a model for others to lead. So let's read it. Matthew 9:35. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Jesus healed every kind of disease and illness. That's something people can get behind, right? When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused, they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields." Guys, how many people live in Rosetown? Close to 4,000? 3,500? 3,500. There's five pastors in town? We have a surrounding area of about 10,000 people, 8 to 10-ish. If you look at Fisk and all the Darcy and all that, there's a lot of people in the that we need to harvest. It's going to sound awful when you just think about it, but there's that seed, right? The people need to hear about Jesus. There's lots of people. If you ask five pastors to only do that, how are you going to reach them? If Nathan's out trying to harvest his field by himself, how is he going to get that done in 6 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever he needs? He needs some people, right? You hire some hired man, you drag your wife along, you drag your dad out. You get to work, but you empower them to do the work. You're empowering them to make some decisions. So if we keep reading in Matthew 10, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them what? Authority. He gave them authority. He was empowering to them to cast out evil spirits, to heal every kind of disease. He empowered them to go out and heal diseases and illnesses. And here are the names of the 12 disciples. First, Simon, also called Peter. Then Andrew, Peter's brother. James, son of Zebedee. John, James' brother. Philip, Bartholomew. Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus. Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Don't just go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. That's just the people of Israel. No! What did we talk about before? When you become a follower of Christ, you become one of Abraham's descendants, right? It says that in Scripture. I'm not making this up. Read it. So when we become saved, we become seed of Abraham, which means we need to be ministered to, and then we need to go minister to people so that they can join the family, kind of like the mafia. We want them to join the family. Except without the Italian accent. Jesus taught by example. So woven into this story are the steps Jesus took to empowering his disciples. Jesus went, he saw, he had compassion on the people. Jesus took the initiative and went through all the towns and villages teaching, preaching, healing. Did he not? That's what we read. And then he empowered the disciples to go do the same. And to empower others to do the same. To empower others to do the same. Which eventually gets to us. So we should be empowered to go and do the same. Well, guys, seriously. You're like Seth in Sleeping over there. We're empowered to do the same. We're empowered to what? Go out. And in here. Teach, preach, heal in Jesus' name. He was an active, motivated, life-changing leader. And Jesus saw the crowds and he cared about them and he was motivated to take action. I don't know about you, but when I look out into our town, I'm pretty motivated to take action. When I look in here and see that one of us is hurting, I'm pretty motivated to take action, and I hope you guys are the same. And as we talk more in the upcoming weeks about loving relationships, I hope you get motivated for the same more and more, because we need to get each other healthy and we need to get going, get busy. We need to take action. Jesus accepted responsibility for those who needed him, didn't he? He took that responsibility, and Jesus was empowering with a statement to go and teach. Go and teach. And he called them and gave them that authority. He gave us the example. Ephesians 4:11-16 says this. There we go. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and to the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, build up the church, build up the body of Christ, and this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown around like the wind from every teaching. This means that we will be taught, we will be motivated, and sent out. Because when we are taught, how can you be blown around by false teachings? How can you, when you're taught and fully understand, when you go out and somebody asks you a crazy question or makes a crazy statement like I shared with the guys about Jesus and was he really crucified? And some of the crazy answers that are out there, like that he got a lookalike, or he had this, or he faked it. Impossible. you will have the understanding and the knowledge to be able to refute those things, that those comments or statements, and you will be able to teach back. You will be able to walk in those gifts. You will be able to walk in that healing. And that's exciting for me. I think, you know, as I've been learning about being a leader, as I've been learning about being a pastor and not trying to hold everything close, I've seen too many churches when the pastor leaves, and don't, this is not me saying I'm leaving. Let me preempt to that. When I've seen too many churches when a pastor eventually leaves after 10, 20 years, you got me for 20, I'm going to give you 20. I shouldn't say that. God could kick me out of here or whatever, but I've seen too many pastors leave after 10 or 20 years, and they go and the whole system falls apart. And the church is left in shambles because the people don't know how to lead. The people don't know how to go out and still minister. The people don't know what to do. And I want to encourage you guys and build you up. And the great thing is we've got so many great people here that are just hungry to learn. And they're coming to Nathan's Bible study. They're coming when we have a men's study or a men's day or a women's thing. People are coming and we're gathering together and we're being encouraged and taught and built up. But we need to continue that and be motivated and get liberated and get out the door. We need to get healthy in here and get motivated and get out there. We've got people that are dying and going to hell every day. We need to tell them about Jesus. But more than that, we need to start living like Jesus. We need to start doing what he said and healing. We need to start living and evangelizing. We need to start preaching and teaching every chance we get. We all need to be an empowering leader. This isn't just on me. This is each and every one of you. And we're going to be working through this and we're going to be learning this together because I need to learn to be an empowering leader. And as I learned, so will you. Am I saying I'll be a perfect empowering leader? No. And if you expect perfect, throw the stones now, because I'm going to learn, but we're going to do it together. And I encourage you guys to work with me and become empowering leaders yourself. This is exciting times for our community. I truly believe that we are on the cusp of something great in this town. I truly believe that Rosetown is about to see a revival like they haven't seen since the 30s and 40s, 50s. Something big is coming, guys. And it's time to get excited. It's time to get healthy. It's so important for our church, for our church health, for us to be empowering leaders together. As a men's guy through the province of Saskatchewan, as a men's guy for the nation of Canada, for the POC, one thing that I've always kind of taught and said is mentorship is important. I believe fully in mentorship. And mentorship doesn't just mean me being mentored or me mentoring somebody, but it's a me pushing somebody along and pulling somebody with me. I'm always need to be pulling somebody and pushing somebody. Do you know what I mean? I need somebody to mentor me and I need to mentor someone at the same time. Because we all have something we can give. And I believe that with all my heart, each and every one of us have something we can give. Maybe you're gifted in music. Show of hands, who's gifted with music? Who likes to sing, play music instruments? Who likes to encourage others? Who's gifted with encouragement? Who's gifted with praying for others? Who's gifted with teaching and preaching? Who's gifted with just loving others and serving? Who's gifted at cooking? Because we'll talk later. But we all have a gift. Each and every single one of us has a gift. And we need to be activated in that gift. And guys, if you've ever seen a chemical reaction, when you pour in the activating agent, Jesus is the activating agent in this chemical reaction. And when the activating agent is poured into a chemical reaction, what do you get? You get smoke. You get some heat, you get a change, right? Jesus is our activating agent to be us all becoming empowering leaders. And I pray that as we live our lives, we allow him to be that activating agent and we become an empowering leader. I want it for all of us. As we grow as a church, we follow Jesus' steps to go out and preach, what he did there when he encouraged the disciples to go out and preach, to encourage their disciples to go out and preach, that's what we need to do. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's what we need to do. I'm going to invite the team back up. Guys, this might be very simple for some of you. It might be challenging for others. I encourage you to seek what God did with Jesus, how he empowered him on earth, how Jesus empowered those disciples. And I ask that you look for God to give you leadership there. Ask for Jesus to give you leadership and guidance there on being an empowering leader. We all have it in us. We all have the opportunity. Would you guys pray with me? Father, we thank you that you gave us the model. You set the bar on being an empowering leader. And God, you called us to go out and to heal, to preach, to minister to others. And Father, as we start right here in these four walls, ministering, encouraging, and praying for healing for each other, God, I pray that we would be empowered and continue to empower to reach others for you. That we would see miracles for you. That we would see lives changed for you. Father, I pray that you would bless us all. God, I pray that you would continue to teach us as we spend time with you on our own. Build us up, Father. God, allow us to be everything that you've called us into. Father, I pray that we would walk into that leadership, that we would walk with boldness into that leadership. We would walk with boldness into that teaching. Father, we thank you that you love us. God, thank you that every promise is yes, and that you hold nothing back, and that you are a good God. Father, as we go this week, I pray that you would just go before us and give us opportunities to love others. That you give us opportunities to share your love and your goodness with others. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, Mary's going to lead us in a